Hey, what's happening? I am Tammy, and this is episode 21 of Women Committing Crimes. Welcome. It's great to have you here. I want to start out by thanking all of you, my listeners. This podcast now has, at the time of this recording, 838 plays and an established audience of 43. And a new country has been added to the list, Puerto Rico. Welcome very much. The new website is up and running. Visit womencommittingcrimes.com. All the episodes are there, as well as a page for suggestions and a page listing all the women I plan on talking about in future podcasts. Actually, I've added about 20 more women. My dad gave me a whole bunch of new ones that I added to the list, and some of them are gruesome. I can't wait. Also, I'm looking to do some bonus episodes. I know I had talked about that before. But I'd like you, the listener, to tell me what you would like to hear in bonus episodes. Should I do, like, all the bonus episodes are spies? Should I do all the bonus episodes aren't women committing crimes? They're women, you know, helping the world. Tell me what you would like. Let me know. As a reminder, I now have a hashtag, #WomenCommittingCrimes. Check that out. You can join the Facebook group, Women Committing Crimes Podcast Group, and follow me on Twitter, @CrimesWomen. All right, groovy. So let's talk about Sandra Smith. This one is kind of short. There wasn't much extra information about her or the crime itself. We're going to go ahead and take care of it. But since it happened in the 1980s in South Africa, though, I'd like to give a little bit of context. I'm not going to go too much in depth on South Africa, though, because the history of that country is long, deep, complicated, and, of course, racist as hell. Any of you listeners who were at least 10 years old or older in 1994 might remember a thing called apartheid. This topic is also deep, complicated, and racist as hell. That's what it is, the embodiment, the epitome of racism. So I'm only going to be able to touch on it for our purposes. It would take far too long. This podcast would end up being in segments because it would be too long. So, South Africa. It's the southernmost country in Africa. The population today is about 59 million. It's a small country of about 471,445 square miles. It's not very big. I mean, it's not tiny like Lesotho, but it's, you know, not big. It has three capital cities, which represent the three branches of its government. Pretoria is the executive. I don't know how to say this because I think it's a Dutch word, but Bloemfontein, if you know how to do that, if you know how to say that correctly, please let me know. That's the judicial, and Cape Town is the legislative. I don't understand how that works, why there's a city for each branch of government. It was not an easy thing for me to grasp, so if you understand that too, please let me know in emails or on the website or, you know, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. Just let me know if you know how that works, because I don't understand it. It's just really interesting. Also, the largest city of South Africa is Johannesburg. Most of us have heard of that. And the country has 11 official languages. It's got a very diverse population. Apartheid, though, was a system, again, of basic, fundamental, institutionalized racial segregation from 1948 to 1991. It was an authoritarian culture based on white supremacy, starting with the Dutch and then the British, etc. The white population was the minority, but had all the power politically, socially, economically, until about 1994, when black South Africans were able to vote. Nelson Mandela was the country's first black president. Again, all that history is so interesting. It's sad, powerful, deep, just so complicated. However, for our woman today, I just wanted to give context for the time period. So if you're interested in those things, I do recommend there are other podcasts out there about it. And I'm going to be mentioning one at the end that does have a podcast about one of these things. But now on to Sandra. All right. So Sandra Smith was a colored woman in South Africa. No, I'm not personally being racist calling her that. This goes back to apartheid I was talking about, right? Colored was one of the many legal color distinctions that were actually used by the South African government during apartheid, and it meant she was of mixed race. People were classified into one of four groups: native, colored, Asian, or white. By 1966, 11 million people had been classified under the Population Registration Act of 1950, so they had to register under their race, had to. The idea that you have to register as what race you are, and that affected your jobs, your education, where you lived, everything. Anyway, Sandra was born in 1965. She married a man named Philip when she was quite young, who was a mariner and away at sea a lot. They had two children, and then Sandra had an affair with a 21-year-old man named Yassim Harris, and they fell in love in 1983. Blew. Yasim had been, you'll see why I say blah. Yasim had been a criminal since he was about 13. He had convictions for theft, fraud, drugs. When Philip found out about the affair some neighbors had told him, he threw Sandra out of the house. She then moved in with Harris in a dive apartment. Neither one of them had any money. So to get money, this is the 1980s, right? To get money, they sold rented video recorders, which, you know, if you rent something, you do not have permission to sell it. Just saying. Yasim was creepy as well as a criminal, and he hung out around girls' schools, befriending young high school girls. And you remember, he's over 21. He befriended Jermaine Abrahams, whose parents were wealthy. Yasim and Sandra had a plan. They were going to break into Jermaine's house and steal her mother's jewelry and other things. I guess they found out about the jewelry because, you know, Jermaine is, by the way, 16. She's like 16 years old. She's very young. The picture of her is adorable. The pictures, by the way, will go up onto the website. So you'll see a picture of all these things I'm talking about. But Jermaine is adorable looking. She's like 16 years old. So of course she's, you know, talking to this older dude, you know, who, and she's telling him, you know, her parents are rich and all that. So they plan on going to the house to steal the jewelry and other things, right? They're going to break into the house. But they get to the house around 7:30 in the morning on September 1st, 1986. Everyone's gone except Jermaine. She has not left for school yet. Remember, she's 16. She let them in because she knew Yasim, and he said he needed to use the phone, which this is the 1980s, right? So, of course, you don't have a cell phone. Well, they tied up Jermaine and asked her where the jewelry was. Someone came to the door, and Jermaine started to yell for help. Yasim then took a dishcloth and attempted to strangle Jermaine with it. This starts to get brutal here. Just warning you. Yasim stated later that it was Sandra who got the butcher knife and gave it to him, and she told him to stab Jermaine, but she denies this, of course. Either way, he stabbed Jermaine repeatedly in the neck, but she didn't die. They eventually untied her and forced her to show them where the jewelry was. By then, you know, she's like, you know, bleeding out and, you know, weak. So yeah, okay, I'll show you where the jewelry is. And some of the sources, it said that she refused in the beginning. So if you're 16 and somebody is like tied you up and stuff, you know, maybe you tell them where the jewels are. Maybe not. I don't know. Not victim blaming here at all, by the way. These people are just plain idiot evil. After taking the jewelry, Yasim then wrapped the very weak Jermaine in a duvet cover and slit her throat, leaving her to die. Sandra later told the court, quote, Jermaine kept pleading with us to let her live, duh, saying she didn't want to die, duh. After she showed us where the jewelry was, she was getting weak. We put her on the bed. She became cold and asked for water. We did not give her any, assholes. She began to bleed more and then died. Then Mr. Harris closed his eyes and slit her throat. Here's my question. If she died, why did he slit her throat? Of course, that's, you know, it's possible they're saying that, you know, she wasn't dead when he slit her throat. Either way, he slit a young girl's throat, honestly, after stabbing her in the neck repeatedly. And by the way, the total value of their theft monetarily was $156. That's it. So this young girl dies because for $156. 2 weeks later, the police were questioning Sandra about the video recorder scam, and she blurted out about the murder. She said, quote, I wouldn't have been able to live with it, end quote. But she did for 2 fucking weeks. And it's you know, arguable. Would she have said anything had the police not gone to her house to find, you know, had not questioned her about the video recorder scam? Had she not said anything, would they have gotten away with it? I don't know. They both seem kind of dumb, but at the same time, who knows? I don't know about South Africa in 1986. You know, I don't know how good their cops are, whatever. But I'm just saying, she lived with it for 2 weeks, but she can't live with it anymore. It doesn't make any sense. On September 15th, 1986, Sandra was formally charged with murder. She pleaded guilty to murder and theft. She and Yasim were tried together, which I think was a mistake, because, I mean, she didn't plunge the knife. She didn't slit the throat. Possible, maybe, she could have, you know, argued something else. All right, so either way, they were tried together at Cape Town Supreme Court on December 1st, 1986, which, of course, is the judicial capital of South Africa. South Africa doesn't use a jury system. Its laws are based on British law, but it uses a judge and two assessors, which is weird to me. Again, I don't understand that, but it was not a jury that they did this in front of. It was in front of the Supreme Court, which I guess was one judge and two assessors. Both had counsel, and both blamed each other, but the judge and the assessors didn't buy any of it. Sandra was sentenced to 7 years in prison for the robbery, and she was sentenced to death for the murder. Although she didn't murder Jermaine, Again, the assessors and the judge sentenced her to death anyway because she was there. She watched. She did nothing to stop it. And she waited 2 fucking weeks before she told anybody. And she only told somebody because she got caught with the whole video machine scam. When the death sentence was read, Sandra was supposedly hysterical, struggling and screaming as they took her away. She was taken to Pretoria Central Prison, which was the only death row facility in South Africa at the time. All her appeals were turned down, and the execution date was set for June 2nd, 1989. All right, so here's the description of the execution. The execution room was 40 feet long, had white painted walls with a gallows beam running the length of the room. It could hang 7 people at a time. There'll be a picture on the website. Not of her being hung, but of the gallows and the nooses. It's still fucking creepy. But anyway, it could hang 7 people at a time. Sandra was executed along with Yassim and 2 other guys. Her hands were cuffed behind her back. A white hood is placed on her head, but it's got a flap in the front. And then they placed the rope around her neck. They read her the charges and such. And then the executioner pulls the flap down on the hood, so people can't see your face. Then the floor drops out. She hung for about 15 minutes. She was then stripped and examined by a doctor to make sure she was dead, then placed in a coffin and sent to a public cemetery for burial. There are about 3,000 hangings in South Africa between 1959 and 1989. Only 14 were women. During apartheid, hangings did increase. In the 1980s, there were more people executed per year in South Africa than anywhere else in the world. Wonder what that was based upon. Sandra was the last female executed in South Africa, and the death penalty was abolished in 1995. So Sandra Smith, again, I told you it was short, definitely not sweet, but she was a woman committing crimes. This podcast is brought to you by the podcast This Is Why You're Wrong with Stephen Everett, John DeBruin, and Alex Alcantar. In their podcast, they make lists about everything from top one-hit wonders to top best smells. Then they argue about why their list is superior. Their podcast was an inspiration, actually, for this podcast, especially with their episode of Top 10 Bad Guys. It is a lot of fun, I promise. Check it out on Spotify or wherever else you get your podcasts and compare your list to theirs. Another podcast that had a huge influence on this one is called Time Suck with comedian Dan Cummings. I'm allowed to talk about that. Somebody else's that, you know, not a person that I necessarily know personally. But it had such an influence on this one and me starting a podcast. His is absolutely incredible. He does episodes on so many topics. I promise you there's one for you. He's done an episode on several of the women that I have also done an episode on, such as Griselda Blanco and Catherine Knight. There's a few he's done that I plan on doing in the future. I have not listened to those. So if you're interested on even more in-depth information on the ones that I've done, check out Time Suck on Spotify and wherever you get your podcasts. Also, shout out to Dan Cummins. I am a huge, huge fan. And it was my 16-year-old son that got me hooked on Time Suck. I want to thank Byron Alexander for allowing me to use his music at the beginning and end of this podcast. The song at the beginning is the instrumental version of Very Well I Know, and the song at the end is the instrumental version of Who. Both songs are on his fantastic album, Square One. You can find it on Amazon, Spotify, anywhere you buy music or listen to music. He's got iTunes. It's a great album. I also want to thank my husband, Doug, who designed the logos for this podcast, as well as the podcast Off Kilter No Filter. Yes, one more podcast. Off Kilter No Filter is a podcast with me and Byron Alexander, where we discuss everything and anything. Our latest episode will be uploaded this Thursday, March 25th, 2021. It's about first jobs. Join us on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and any other podcast you use. And thank you so much for listening today. If you have comments, questions, suggestions for an episode, email me at womencommittingcrimes@gmail.com, no capitals, no spaces, or comment on the website at womencommittingcrimes.com, or join the Facebook group, Women Committing Crimes Podcast Group, or hit me up at crimeswomen. I'll even read your email or comments on the podcast unless you would rather remain anonymous. If you would like to remain anonymous, please express that in your email. Please support this podcast. Go to anchor.fm/Elizabeth-Chase and click the support button. You can make a one-time donation or sponsor on a monthly basis. I sponsor a podcast myself. It would be greatly appreciated. Please give this podcast 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and a thumbs up on any other podcasting sites. I'm on all of them, including iHeartRadio, so give us a fantastic ratings, please. All right, time to go into that fishbowl. Who is next? Fishbowl, fishing in the fishbowl. All right, here we go. Okay. Chelsea O'Mahony. Oh, my Lord. This is a teenage killer, meaning she's a teenager that kills. Kills other teenagers, maybe. I don't know. Let's find out together next week. Y'all have a great week. Bye-bye.